Good morning. Nice to be here, isn't it? Thank you to the band for that time of praise and worship. That was awesome. Thank you. If I can ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Jonah chapter 3, please. That's where we're going to be for the next little while this morning. So we're looking at Jonah chapter 3, and I'm sure when we think about our own lives, we think about some circumstances we've been in, maybe some decisions that we've made in time, and we can look back with hindsight and we think, why did I do that? Why was I so stupid? Why did I make such bad choices? And we want that kind of groundhog day. We want that chance to do things over again, to that second chance, that second attempt at doing things right. And that's really where we see Jonah coming to in chapter 3 of the book this morning. So what we'll do, we'll just read out chapter 3 because it's fairly short. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city in the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily to God, yes, let every one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent, and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? When God saw their works and they turned away from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." So to kind of recap where we are in Jonah here, obviously we've got Jonah, and God has given him this kind of charge, speak to the people of Nineveh. That was the task that Jonah the prophet was given, to speak to this wicked, wicked city, to tell them their evil and to turn from their evil ways, that God wanted to do something with them. He wanted them to turn to God. And we've seen in chapter 1 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go and do this. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do that. And they went in the complete opposite direction. So we see that Jonah didn't obey the call of God the first time in his life. So instead of obeying God, he ran away from God. And where did Jonah find himself because he ran away and disobeyed God? Inside the belly of the big fish. Ended up in the boat trying to sail away for God's will and God's word. And God brought this supernatural storm to play. At the end of the day, Jonah, we can say he was eaten up by circumstances, that he wasn't willing to obey God, but God brought a circumstance into his life to humble him, to bring him to the point where he would look to God and turn to God. So eventually Jonah, in this kind of the belly of the fish, Jonah's heart has a kind of change. His heart softens towards God and he's like, right, God, okay, God. But he's still quite reluctant with it. He's not fully with God. He's not fully on board. But his heart does get turned in the right direction. So God sees that and I don't know what he did, but he made the fish vomit Jonah back up on the beach. So, not very pleasant. Jonah was delivered out of the belly of the fish. He was delivered from the difficult circumstances which he was in. So, chapter 1 and chapter 2 were shown us how things panned out when Jonah didn't obey. And chapter 3 now comes into play. We see what happens when Jonah does obey the call of God. And what we'll see in chapter 3 is what can happen if God gives you a commission or a mission to do. And if you're obedient to that call, what the results can be like. To give us a wee kind of further insight, we've got the verses in Romans chapter 10. So Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15, gives us a wee bit more insight into the situation here. And it's about communicating the word of God. Kind of like what Bridget was praying this morning. We've got to share, we've got to tell. And it's Romans 10, 14 to 15. It says, "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him that they have not heard of? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So God has chosen us to be those bearers of the good news. We need to be the feet that bring the gospel of peace. we need to go out and share the gospel and share the good news and share our experiences with God with other people. People like you and I, are we perfect? Definitely not. Am I perfect? Certainly not. And as we look in this account of Jonah, Jonah's certainly not perfect, but God has called him to do it. And he's called you and I to do it as well. Unless we are willing to tell people, show people then, how are they supposed to know? And this is where Jonah found himself. He'd been given the call to go and share with Nineveh. If he was not obeying that call, who was going to share the good news with them? How was that going to pan out? He had a call and a commission in his life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We sang this morning about our God saves. God saves, but there needs to be some kind of mechanism for that message to get to the people, for the love of God and the gospel message to get to people. And that's where we come in. God uses us, human agents, imperfect as we are, and he uses Jonah, imperfect as he was. So verse 1 tells us, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So right back in Jonah chapter 1, it says the word came to Jonah. Jonah didn't obey it and he went off in his own way, and all the kind of circumstances happened. But what we see here is he's getting a second chance, isn't he? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So God is really kind of coming back to Jonah. He's not saying to Jonah, right, you didn't do it the first time, you're scrubbed, no one anything to do with you, I'll pick somebody else, you're having nothing to do with my kingdom anymore. God is gracious and he's merciful, and he's handing Jonah this second chance to do and to work out the call that God has given him. Really what God is wanting from Jonah is a bit of obedience. He's wanting Jonah to obey this second time. He's wanting Jonah to see if he went wrong with his first wrong decision. And he's worked on it, he's prayed to God, in the belly of the fish, Jonah's thought about it, and he wants this second call for Jonah to go, yep, okay, God, I hear you, I'm going to go and do it. And we see in chapter 3, he does that, which is very positive. The teaching point that we can get from here, though, is right along from chapter 1 right through to the end of Jonah, Jonah's really not interested in preaching the message to the Ninevites. He doesn't really like them. He doesn't want them saved, but eventually it comes to the point of obedience where he says, right, God, I don't really like these people, but I know you've called me to do something, and in obedience to you, I'm going to do it. And sometimes what we can see is God might put a call on your lives and might need to go and you've got that prompting to go and speak to a person or to do a certain thing. And you might not like it. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do that we might not like. But if God calls you to do it, it's out of obedience to him. We just need to step forth and do what God asks us to do. So this is Jonah's second chance. God, being a God of grace, has given Jonah this second chance. This kind of second time to put things right where he went wrong previously. And we see that right through the Bible on so many different occasions with so many people. You know, Adam sinned, Peter denied God. So many people in the Bible made mistakes. And God never said, right, that's it, you're cut off. No more with you. You're not in my kingdom anymore. He always gives us that second chance. Obviously, we shouldn't kind of go into sin hoping for that second chance and totally, oh God, I don't care that I'm doing this wrong because, oh, you'll give me a second chance anyway. That's a totally wrong attitude. But if we genuinely make a wrong decision, when we repent to God, he will restore us and give us that second chance. We've got a verse in Lamentations. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. And it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So Jonah could quite easily have been consumed. His wee skeleton rattling about in this big fish, he could have been eaten by the fish. But God had a purpose for his life, and he wasn't consumed because God had compassion on him. He wanted Jonah to turn because God loved Jonah so much, and he loved the Ninevites who wanted Jonah to go and share the gospel message with as well. Great is God's faithfulness. So the people in Nineveh, God feels the same about them as well. When we look into the world today, when we see all the nasty things that are going on, all the kind of evil, evil, sick things that are going on, we look at these people and go, ah, hell, fire and brimstone upon you. You know, we want them eradicated. But God's looking down from heaven. He's got compassion and love for everyone, no matter what state they're in, because God loves all of his creation. And he's just wanting them to turn back towards him and be restored to God. So basically, chapter 3, the true mission impossible style here. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is Jonah's getting that second chance again. Nineveh, go and give them the message. We're giving you a second chance here. And what we see is that Jonah had been disobeying God, running away from God, in the belly of the fish. And when does God speak to him again here? When does God give him that kind of calling back in his life? It wasn't until Jonah's heart turned towards God. A lot of times we might have a calling on our life and maybe kind of feel that prompting for God to do something. But as soon as we run in the opposite direction, then we're kind of turning our ears off to God. We're running away from him. God's wanting to stand and speak to us, but we are going off in the opposite direction. Here we see that God spoke to Jonah when Jonah stopped and he turned back to God again. And then God said, second chance here. Your mission, should you choose to accept, is to go and speak to these people. If we want to be restored, if we want to walk in the calling of God and the kind of things that God wants to do in our lives, we've got to stop. We've got to look to God, listen to God, and then obey what God tells us to do. And thankfully, Jonah had learned from his time inside the belly of the fish. He didn't have to learn his lesson a second time. And I wonder how many times in our life we've been through the same mistakes. Once, twice, three times, four times. You know, that kind of rolls over and rolls over. And we're in these circumstances. Like, oh, why is all this going on in my life? And it's because we've not listened. We've not taken the lesson on board and changed our thoughts and our ways of doing things. Thankfully, Jonah had here. But what we can see is that we can have a fresh start. We can have a new hope. We can have a new beginning in God. No matter what we have done in our lives, God can forgive you and restore you. When you stop, you repent of whatever you've done wrong, of whatever you've not obeyed God in, and you look towards him, he'll wipe that slate clean and he'll give you that new beginning. And he's doing it with Jonah here, thankfully. But what we see is, it's a truth that God always asks us to complete step one in the process. He said to Jonah, right, Jonah, I want you to go and preach the message to the Ninevites. And Jonah at this point has to go, right, okay, God, I accept that, before he then gets told the second step in God's plan. God never reveals step one right through to the end in our lives. We never know what God's complete plan for us is, but he just drifts it one step at a time. And here he's saying, now, Jonah, now are you ready to obey what I've told you to do? No. You've been through all these difficult circumstances, you know, nearly drowning in the sea, getting swallowed by the fish. Now are you going to obey me? Or do I need to do further things in your life? And Jonah, thanks for saying, yep, step one, what's step one? I'll do that. And we kind of talked about last night, Friday night, at our home group, God's instructions kind of being like a GPS. You know, God knows the destination. We're a bit blind to that one. But when the GPS says, right, okay, you're driving along the road, turn left. We turn left, we obey what it tells us, and then it says, then turn right. We do it one step at a time. The GPS doesn't go, turn left, turn right, turn left, 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 right, right, because we'd get overwhelmed. God doesn't want to overwhelm us. We couldn't cope with a bigger plan. But what we need to do is, if he says turn left, we turn left, and then he'll tell us what the next step is. Who's got a sat-nav? Everyone uses a sat-nav. So if you put it on, okay, you plug in your destination, you're driving along, you've got to turn left, you turn left, and then you stop the car. What does your sat-nav do? Does that start speaking to you again, or does it stop? It stops because you've stopped. If we want to constantly hear God's will and God's plan for our lives and the steps that we have to take, we need to keep on moving in him. And as soon as we stop, then God's voice stops, because he's given us a step to take and we're not taking the step. As soon as we take the step, then get the next step of the plan. And that's what we're seeing with Jonah here. He needs to take the first step, and then God will tell him what to do next. So maybe God has asked us to complete a job, and we're the only one that can do it. With Jonah, God could have said, right, Jonah, you're not willing to do this first time around. I'll go and I'll call somebody else. I'll send them to Nineveh, and they can do it. And I want to give you that kind of encouragement, but also a wee bit of a warning as well. Sometimes God will use somebody else to do a task that he's called you to do. If he's told you to do something or asked you to do it and you say no, he might pick somebody else. But what we see in the life of Jonah was that Jonah was specifically picked by God to talk to Nineveh. And Jonah was the one that God wanted to do that task. And Jonah was bringing about all these circumstances until Jonah obeyed that call on his life. And sometimes there might be something in our life that God specifically wants you to be the person to share with a group of people or one individual, or to do some task for him. And these circumstances might continually come into your life until you obey. You might not know what that task is. I don't know what it is either, but there might be something that comes into your life that you're going to have to obey God in, or else you're not going to be in that place of peace with him. So today, in some shape or form, we're all going to be given that second chance. As we look towards Jonah, as we see Jonah's second chance, we're given that reminder that we can have a second chance in God as well. If there's something in your life you're sitting here thinking of, you know, I think God's maybe asked me to do this in the past and I've really not done it and I feel quite sick about it, you know. I kind of want to hide my face with God. Don't. Just turn to God and say you're sorry and continue to look to God and listen to God, and he might tell you what he wants you to do in your life. So verse 2 says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach it the message that I give you." So as we said, God calls us people, human beings, to preach the gospel, to preach that message, the same as Jonah has here. But we've always got that choice. We've got the choice in chapter 1 to flee, or the choice in chapter 1 to flee, or the choice in chapter 3 to obey. The second commission here comes through, despite what mistakes we might make in our lives. But what we see here, quite important, is that Jonah wasn't called to go to Nineveh and tell the Ninevites exactly what Jonah thought of them. Because Jonah thought quite a lot about them. He could use some quite nasty words towards them. But he says, preach to them the message that I give you. And how many times when we're sharing with people do we tell them what we want to tell them? We see something in their life and we give them the A to Z exactly what's wrong in their life. Whereas God's maybe saying, just tell them that God's real, Jesus died for them and Jesus loves them, rather than pointing out all the sins in their life. Preach to people the message that God gives you. A lot of times we walk into situations with preconceived ideas, what we want to tell people about God and what scriptures we want to tell people. We've got to kind of take that step back, to tune into God, to listen and obey what God is telling us. And that's what Jonah had to do here. And it was probably quite a hard thing for Jonah to do because he really hated the Ninevites. They were dirty, disgusting, brutal, sick people. And that's exactly what Jonah thought about them. So he would really have to bridle his mouth quite a lot and just tell them the message that God was going to give him. So importantly, Jonah hears in this time he obeys God according to the word of God. So whatever he was going to do was according to the word of God. When we are going about our daily lives, whether we're in the house with our families, with our husbands, our wives, going to work, going to the corner shop for a pint of milk, when we are speaking to people, when we are acting, whatever we are doing in our lives, do we do it according to the word of God, according to the word of the Lord? I'd like to say I do, but I certainly don't, so I'm putting both hands up to say, you know, a lot of times my attitude stinks. Some of the things that come out of my mouth certainly are not godly and they're not according to the word of God. But really, that's the test of where we are spiritually in our life. The test of the believer is, how do we act in our daily lives according to the word of God? How aligned with the word of God are we? And that's a wee test we can put against ourselves. Jonah is learning here that he had to do things according to God's ways because he was really brought down to his knees. Even worse than that, he was brought down to the very bottom of the sea inside a fish. I don't think that's going to happen to any one of us, hopefully, but Jonah was brought down to the lowest place it could be brought down to. And that was because he was totally disobeying God. We don't want to be in the position where God has to bring us so low before we look up towards him. Do things according to the word of God. When we're sharing the faith with somebody, sharing the love of God, do it according to God's heart and God's character, not what we want to say to people. So Jonah's heart was somewhat changed in chapter 2. So he's kind of came to this place where he wants to obey God. And we see the city of Nineveh here being described as a great city. So depending on your Bible version, you might say great or important or a very vast city here. Really, it was one of the most important nations of the world at this time. An ancient Assyrian city, and it's in modern Iraq, as we would call it today. But Nineveh was polluted with all sorts of ungodly things. Many, many, many false gods were in that location there. We've got the goddess Ishtar, goddess of fertility, love and war, Nabu, the god of writing and literature, and all of the things that they'd done to worship their gods were very, very immoral, or very, very violent or brutal. And Jonah's thinking, I need to go and speak to them. Do you know what these people are like? But he again just had to bring it back to what God had asked him to do. Do it according to the word of God. Do what I've told you to do, and I will help you through the circumstances here. And we might kind of look out across Scotland, across the UK, across the world, and look at it and think, bleh. What a nasty, nasty world this is. What a nasty nation we are. How sick. It's too far gone for God to do anything. But we can just look at Nineveh and see. Nineveh was very brutal, very, very pagan, ungodly. The things that they'd done to people in this place here were, I wouldn't like to describe them to you. But Jonah had to go and evangelise to that area. As wicked as it was, it would be an overwhelming task, but God was with Jonah and God would make sure that his will was accomplished through the word of Jonah. And we can look at that and say, well, should I really go and kind of speak the message to people? Should I go out in Scotland or to a different country and preach the word of God? Because I'll know what, they're too far gone. And we see here with Jonah that, no, that's not the case. If God's got a plan to fulfill, if God's got a commission he wants to see through to the end, then God's power will prevail. No matter how wicked a place is, no matter how far gone they are, God's purpose will prevail in it. We just need to be willing and obedient to say what God tells us to say. There's no power in us. There's no power in the words that come out of our mouth. But God puts power by his Spirit into all those things. It's nothing to do with us. We're just the vessels, and God then uses us as the vessels to accomplish his will. So God's will and his purposes, his redeeming power prevails when we obey him. When we speak his word, he anoints the word, and he can accomplish something through it. Verse 4 says, Jonah began to enter the city in the first day's walk. He cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So that's Jonah's message here. Some say it's maybe not all of his message because it's quite a short thing. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Very concise. 8 words in English, but in the original Hebrew it was just 5 words. So all this kind of disobedience that Jonah had was to do with 5 words. How many times in our life do we kind of butt God with, you know, kind of go against God and he's just asking us to do something simple or something short and we don't do it? Granted, Jonah's been asked to do quite a severe thing. He had to go into this dangerous place, but it was a 5-word message that he had to give there. For those of you that like a short sermon, then you probably quite like Jonah's style of doing things. And if you like quite a short sermon, you're kind of in the wrong church. And I'm going to try and watch my time today. I'll try. I'd kind of seen a wee picture online, which I thought was quite fun. It says, there's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. So I'll try and not keep these hostages this morning. I'll try and finish in time. But what we see is that Jonah had a short message to give. Sometimes all it can take is one sentence from us, or 2 or 3 words from us into somebody's life, for God to do something major with that. Because as I said a wee minute ago, it's not about us, it's not about the words, but it's what God accomplishes through them. We're not all going to be Billy Grahams and have thousands of people saved because we've given them a very eloquent exposition of the scriptures here. Nor do we need to be. All we need to do is, if God says, say, God loves you to the homeless person in the street, then we should just say, God loves you, and we can walk on again. So long as we obey the specifics that God asks us to do, who knows if that homeless person might get saved through those 2 words that go cycling through their heads and the Spirit of God comes in and does a work in that person. We don't know. Nor do we need to know. We just need to be obedient to what God asks us to do. So Jonah is to preach only what God has told him to do. Preach God's word, nobody else's. When we think about our church situations as well, we're fairly fortunate in our church here that we do a kind of verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Bible. That we're not picking wee bits here and wee bits there and wee funny stories that pad out 50% of your sermon. We're quite studious of the Word of God, which is good. But how many churches out there don't study the Word of God? It becomes about the stories and the wee illustrations, and there's maybe 2 or 3 scriptures get brought into the message. What we see through Jonah is the word of God is the most important thing. He spoke the word of God, and there was power in it, and there was an outcome. When we speak the word of God, individually or as a church, then there's power in the word of God, and there will be an outcome through it. We even look back to chapter 2 when Jonah was trying to avoid going to Nineveh. He was on the ship sailing in the wrong direction. God brought about the storm, and Jonah eventually had to come out his wee hidey hole and say, "I follow God. Yeah, I'm a Hebrew. He's my God. He's bringing about this storm." He took admit that to the sailors. It's a very, very short, very badly worded, and like a really bad heart, but Jonah confessed to the sailors that he was a follower of God. But what happened? The sailors get saved because Jonah shared that wee story with them. Again, when we share just the short things, when God's Spirit is in something, there will be action. We see here that these messages, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That word overthrown is quite an interesting one there. When you take that word in the original language, you can translate it two different ways. It either means destroyed, which is really what Jonah's wanting. He's wanting Nineveh destroyed. No doubts about it. Doesn't want him to repent. He's wanting Nineveh destroyed. But it can also mean transformed or changed into something new. And we see when Jonah gives this message here, Nineveh at this point isn't destroyed, but their hearts change. They fast and they repent before God, and God relents in bringing his judgment upon them. And that's quite an interesting one there. As we go through, you know, the full expectation in Jonah and in people is Nineveh's going to get wiped out. But God's always got that wee bit in the background. You know, there's always that chance of repentance there. And in God's compassion, he's given Nineveh time to repent. 40 days. They're getting 40 days to turn things around. And if you don't by that time, then judgment will come. So he's given them time. God, if he wasn't compassionate, if he didn't have grace and mercy, just say, "Right, Jonah, tell them they're going to get destroyed." And then 5 minutes later, kaboom, "I'm going to do it." But that's not the will of God. God is patient with us, and he's patient with all the ungodly people out there as well. He's wanting them to be saved and wanting them to turn their lives around. So we see the response from the Ninevites in verse 5. It says, "The people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them." So these very wicked, sinful people believed God and they repented. And again, just shows that example that anyone can be turned around by the word of God, no matter how wicked and how sinful they are. But we're quite sceptical, aren't we? We think, they didn't really mean it. They're just doing that to save their own skins. They could have died. They're just kind of playing at it. But we see in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 to 40, it says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Verse 41, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." So out of the words of Jesus, he's saying their repentance was real. They meant it. And they're an example to the generation that Jesus was speaking to. Look at the Ninevites. They did things the right way, and yous lot aren't. So we can be sceptical and think, they're just playing at it. But no, Jesus says their repentance was real. Huge city, about 120,000 people in it, and they all were brought down to their knees and repented before God. So, the king put out this royal proclamation, and we see if we are serious about sin, if we are serious about repenting before God, then we need to take action. What did the people do? They fasted, put on sackcloth and ashes. They had an internal thought and feeling and emotion. They had an internal turning towards God, and then they showed it externally as well. It says in verse 8, "Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from his violence that is in his hand." So they had to turn. Their hearts had to turn and their lives had to turn after that as well. First the change takes place inside, and then we demonstrate in the way we live our life as well. And the action needed to be quick. These people were on a time sealed. How long? 40 days. When we are speaking the message of the gospel to people out there, do we know how long they've got? We don't. Do we know how long we've got? We don't. So we need to treat each day as if it's going to be the last day. Today is the day of salvation. We need to have that kind of constant thought in our mind. But Jonah knew the people had 40 days, and they knew that as well, and they had 40 days to get themselves sorted. And what we see here is, it's quite interesting that the king took it a step further. You know, not only was the proclamation put out for all the people to fast and put on sackcloth, but the animals as well. He was trying to do everything in his power to kind of turn back the judgment of God, to stop the judgment of God coming upon their city. So you can imagine the kind of, I don't even know what animals we'd have in Nineveh, but you're thinking kind of cattle and bulls and chickens and things like that. So each and every one of them would have a kind of sackcloth thing on. So one, it would look quite odd. No matter where you turned, you'd either see a person or you'd see an animal wearing sackcloth. So it was a constant reminder of repentance, a constant reminder of being humbled before God. In our lives, sometimes we need that constant reminder as well of what we need to do in our lives, that constant reminder that we need to be humbled before God as well. And although we see none of it wasn't overturned, it wasn't destroyed, it experienced that turnaround. So as I said, the word had two different meanings. They weren't destroyed, but they turned it around. And we see everyone repenting, everyone petitioning the throne of God by humbling themselves. And when we think about that whole humbling yourself before God, if we jump into the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, it says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Who will know if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him?" That's what we see with the city of Nineveh here. They turned their hearts towards God, truly. They repented before him. They leaned on God's grace and on God's mercy. And as the verses in Joel go further on, it says, "No, blow the trumpet, gather the people together, consecrate a fast." We see the people in Nineveh doing all these different things here. It wasn't an external show. And sometimes we can make it about the externals. We're doing something wrong in our lives, right? We'll go to the prayer meeting, we'll go to church, and we'll maybe even go to an extra service during the week. We'll do things to try and get ourselves right. If they're external shows, we're not rending our heart. We'd be better off not going to church, staying in our house and reading our Bible and spending the time with God and getting ourselves right before God than try to go and do all these different things. So we need to rend our hearts towards God as well. Return to him with our whole hearts and mean it. It's quite easy to do and say all the correct things, but how much meaning, how much true spiritual application is there with it? Verse 9 says, "Who can tell if God will turn and relent, turn from his fierce anger, that we may not perish?" So the Ninevites were thinking, oh, God's saying this judgment could come, but who will know if he'll turn and relent? The people knew there was a chance for God to turn around, for God not to bring judgment upon them. Bearing in mind, these people were polytheistic, they had many, many gods, and they were used to appeasing their gods, whether it was through different sacrifices or different rites or different ceremonies and rituals, all of it very, very immoral. But what we see is they've seen that the God that Jonah was talking about, he could be appeased, and they were willing to do whatever it took to appease God here. And it says that in verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So God seen the people's internal attitude, he saw their external actions, and God said, "Yep, I believe what you're doing is right. I'm going to turn because you have listened to the word of God, you're turning your life around, and you're doing something about it." And a lot of times we think, oh, but God said, 40 days and you're going to get destroyed. God changed his mind. I am the Lord, I do not change my mind. Same yesterday, today, and always. And we think, how does that work out? And we see here that, you know, the people had true repentance, and that enabled God to withhold the judgment. If they'd persisted in their evil ways, then the judgment would have came upon them. But the judgment we see was a conditional judgment upon them. God's intention all along, God's heart was for the people to turn round, for them to be saved, for them to turn round from their evil way. And there's one new verse I can pull in to support that, and it's Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, 7 to 8, and it says, "The instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up or to pull down and destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." So if that nation turns round, then God will relent from the disaster that he wants to bring upon it. We look at Scotland, look at the UK, look at other nations today. God's judgment is going to fall, but there's a chance there. As the word of God goes out and people listen, people turn their hearts towards God, there's a chance that God will hold his hand back. They will not bring judgment upon them. God responded to the Ninevites' repentance and didn't bring judgment to them. And we need to take that outcome back to Jonah. Jonah was the tool. No, we often say you're a tool, but no, a tool in a good sense. He was the tool that God used here. Jonah was revived in the belly of the fish. He had a kind of personal revival experience. His heart, his mind was turned towards God inside the fish. The result of his personal kind of revival, if we want to put it that way, impacted upon a nation. If we want God to do something through us, then God has to do something in us to begin with. It starts with us, doesn't it? God's not going to do major things out there without using us as his deliverers, as the people that are bringing the good news, as the feet of the peace in different situations. So in a sense, what we can see is Nineveh, did they experience a large revival? Were they ever believers in God? Did they ever follow Yahweh? Did they ever look towards God? If we look at the account of Nineveh then, no, they didn't experience a revival. But through Jonah, there was a very, very large evangelical campaign and people responded to the gospel. People responded to the gospel and they turned their hearts towards God and there was a great turning to God from that city of Nineveh there. Why? Because God used an obedient spokesperson. God said, "I've got a call on your life, I want you to deliver a message." And eventually Jonah said, "Right, okay, Lord, I'll deliver the message." And then we see what the outcome is. We see that this city was about 120,000 people, and 120,000 people repented and turned towards God. We need to be living out our faith obedient to God. Tells us something to say, we say it. And who knows what the outcome can be through the words of God that come out our mouth as well. As a wee saying goes, it says, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely point the way." How many times do you say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I'll see you later, bye-bye." We're kind of pointing people away to God, but we're not showing them anything. There's no substance, there's no direction, there's no sowing into somebody's life. "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." We need to show people what it means to be a believer. I need to work in that big style. I wonder if you do as well. But very sadly, when we look at the city of Nineveh here, they were saved, okay? God relented from judgment. But we see roughly about 100, 150 years later, judgment fell, and the city of Nineveh was destroyed. A generation turned and responded to God, but when that generation passed away, they went back to their old ways. What we see here is that there can be genuine turning to God. A nation can turn towards God and look towards God, but sometimes it passes as well. We're in a generation just now, we're in church. Hopefully we're all born again, we're all saved. We need to sow into the next generation. So as when we go, when we disappear, the gospel doesn't disappear. We need to sow into our young people, all the other people round about us, and make sure that that message is continued on. We can also think about, you know, how many times have we seen people responding to the gospel message, getting saved? They maybe walk with God for a month, 2 months, 3 months, a year. And we can blink and think, "Oh, I've not seen so-and-so for quite a few months. And I've not seen so-and-so for about 5 years, and they've totally disappeared from God again." What we can see as well, that time can thin out the people that continue to follow in the way of God. Time thins them out. People can make professions of faith, and they can continue in that faith for a little while, But only God knows the true spiritual state of any person. Where they truly are, did they truly repent and turn for their sins? Or did they just kind of have that kind of external emotional response and it's not been a true conversion? We don't know that, but God knows that. And we see the number of people that make professions and don't continue on in their faith. We see that in some cases, that might be the case. In the case of the Ninevites there, Jesus commends them for turning towards God, and their repentance was real. But sometimes in our circles, we see people and we think, I wonder if their conversion was real, because they've not continued in it. We need to take that encouragement, that we need to continue on in the ways of the Lord. We're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. There's a start line and there's an end line. We need to make sure we get to the end line, continuing on in God, continue on with Him, according to the word of the Lord. So, as we can conclude, it's amazing though to see that God brought this whole city to repentance through one reluctant prophet. His attitude stunk. Chapter 1 through to the end of chapter 4. His heart did change, his heart did change and he turned towards God and he was obedient to God, but still through it all he had a stinking attitude because he still didn't fully have any grace or compassion towards the Ninevites. He'd just done it because God told him to do it. We should all have a good attitude when we're doing things, but even if you obey God reluctantly, God can still use you and bring great things out of that. So we are called to preach the gospel. Do it the first time, don't wait until the second time, so as a big fish doesn't come and get you. Okay? Sometimes the message that we have to give is plain and simple. It can be a short message that we have to give. We just need to be obedient to do what God asks us to do. The time will come when unrepentant people don't have a second chance. God says 40 days, that's your allocated time. I wonder what the time is put on Scotland or any other individual person. We need to treat each day as being the day of salvation. To preach the word, put that message out towards other people. And today, if we're sitting down here and if we don't know that we are truly born again, if we haven't truly repented and turned towards God, followed God, we're not living our lives according to the word of the Lord. Today's our day as well. We need to get ourselves right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message out of the book of Jonah this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we've got that instruction, Lord, to do things according to the word of the Lord. Help us, Father God, to put your word above all other things in our life, Lord. Help us, Lord, to listen for your voice, to listen to your voice and to obey whatever you ask us to do in our lives, Father. Help us to share your good news, to be those feet that bring the good news to other people, Lord. We ask you, Father God, that if there's anything in our lives today, Lord, that we've disobeyed you in, Father, that we thank you that we can come to you, Lord, and you can forgive us and we can be turned round and we can repent of it, Lord, and you will set us back in that path. That your word will come to us a second time and give us instruction, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, to give us the boldness and the power to not only share your message and to share your good news, but to do the things that you have asked us to do, Father. As we sit here this morning, Lord, as we contemplate our own lives, Father, Lord, we contemplate how much we've given of our own life to you. Is there anything we're holding back in our life, Lord? We ask you to reveal that to us, Father God. If there's anyone here today that's not given their life to you, Lord, we ask you to work upon their hearts, Father. Work upon their hearts and bring them to that point of repentance, that turning of their ways, Lord, that turning of their hearts towards you, and for salvation to come. We ask you, Lord, to recommission each and every one of us today, Lord. Recommission us, Lord, and give us a task to do for your kingdom. Tell us what you want us to do individually in our lives, Lord. And Father God, we commit to do that. We ask you, Lord, to continue to work in our hearts this coming week, Lord, and just for these messages, Lord, to circle round our minds and our spirits, Father God. Change us and put us, Father God, in the path that you want us to be on. We commit our ways to you, Lord, and we just ask you to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.